How's your day going today? Probably pretty normal, right? When you think about it, most of our days are average, pretty much by definition. But maybe that's a problem. Maybe to get the most out of our lives, we need to make our lives a little weirder. But how? Here to help is Eric G. Wilson, a professor of English at Wake Forest University, the author of multiple books, including his latest, How to Be Weird, an off-kilter guide to living a one-of-a-kind life. In the book, Eric offers guidance on how to make your days a bit more creative, a bit more joyful, by making them a bit more bizarre. Here he is to share some of his ideas.
Hello, my name is Eric G. Wilson. I am the Thomas H. Pritchard Professor of English at Wake Forest University, and I'm the author of Against Happiness, Everyone Loves a Good Train Wreck, and Keep It Fake. The title of my new book is How to Be Weird, an off-kilter guide to living a one-of-a-kind life. The big idea of this book is that weirdness, often viewed as something to be avoided, is in fact essential to a joyful life. Why? Because weird experiences estrange us from our conventional habits of thought and perception. They nullify old conceptual maps, and so they launch us, these weird experiences, into those uncharted regions of our being, outlandish and bracing, where we must discover, if we are to thrive, new coordinates, more capacious and colorful. In what follows, I will describe 5 ways you can cultivate weirdness in your life. Each way will refresh your relationship to yourself and your world. You will feel more creative, more connected, and more alive. 1. Defamiliarize the familiar, or see old things in a new way. One of the great problems of life is how to keep it interesting. Many of us have come to rely on the same routine almost every day. We're with the same people from week to week, year to year. We look in the mirror. There's that face I've been staring at my whole life. We look inside, into our hearts. There are those old opinions, prejudices, resentments, regrets. I try to distract myself from this monotony by binge-watching prestige TV or drinking a little too much or trying to learn a new hobby. But at the end of the day, it's the same old, same old. That is, until you can make the same feel different, until you can defamiliarize the familiar. This is where weird comes in. Lie on your belly in your front yard or in a much visited park or even on the sidewalk in front of your apartment. Stare at this much-seen ground for 1 minute, noticing the grass, the acorns, a pebble, a stain on the pavement. Now, roll over and fling your sight into the sky. Enjoy the slight vertigo, the jerk from small to immense. Take in the heavens for a minute, and now roll back over. The ground isn't the same anymore. It's different, alive. Take a souvenir from your adventure, a blade of grass, say, or maybe an acorn. Put it beside your bed. It will remind you that you're always only a turn away from re-enchanting your world. But there are many other ways to disorient yourself slightly from the everyday. Learn to write your name with your non-dominant hand. Imagine a secret name for a part of yourself you've rarely shown the world. Carry the name in your wallet or purse. And when things get stressful or boring, remember, it's there. It's you. Living out a life other than this one right now. 2. Familiarize the strange, or see new things intimately. Sometimes your daily grind can be too much even for your defamiliarizing imagination. Then you need to seek out new terrain. No need to go far. Of a Saturday, take a walk in a place in your town or city where you've never been before. Your goal? Get lost. Don't worry, your smartphone will get you home again safe. Once you're beyond your familiar terrain, wonder, just to wander. You're not going anywhere. You're just taking in what interests you. Follow your whim. What's that tree with the golden leaves? A ginkgo? You smell that mud? It reminds you of the creek you played in when you were little. That house up there seems abandoned. What's its story? The key is to observe and daydream, daydream and observe. Let these new sights enter your heart and activate its feelings. Another way to familiarize the strange is to create your own atlas of weird things you find in your vicinity, from contorted tree trunks to old pipes that seem to spring from nowhere, to spooky graffiti, to that underpass that's always cold as hell. Still another method, create a shadow box. Over a week, pick up the strangest small things you come across. Maybe an interesting piece of litter, perhaps a penny, a cicada husk, a crocus. Then turn a shoebox on its side and tape or glue these objects into the configurations of your choosing. Now look at it as you would a stage in a theater. What does the scene tell you about yourself? Try this, too. Look at some medieval maps online. See all the absurd monsters and strange coordinates and bizarre symbols. Now, draw a similar kind of map. Not of a landscape, though, but of your own heart. 3. Surprise yourself, or shock yourself out of your tired habits. Sometimes our attempts to turn the familiar and the unfamiliar into each other just don't work. Why? Our habits are too deeply ingrained. Your front yard is just your front yard, not a springboard flinging your mind into the heavens. And the abandoned part of the city is just too dilapidated and spooky to check out. When our old identity is blocking our ability to enjoy strange and exhilarating experiences, we need to startle it out of its complacency. One way to do this is wake yourself up from a brief nap. Scientists have shown that when the brain has just fallen asleep, it remains loosely conscious of subconscious currents. If we awaken ourselves when our brain is in this state, we often experience fresh associations, bizarre visions, and startling insights. Salvador Dali knew this. He napped in a chair with a key between forefinger and thumb. As he relaxed into sleep, the key dropped onto a metal plate on the floor and half woke him into his surrealistic visions. You can do a variation on Dali, maybe using a ball bearing or a handful of pennies. Whatever your technique for inducing half-wakefulness, keep a paper and pen beside you. The instant you awaken, write down what you are thinking or feeling. Something fresh and ecstatic can emerge. Another good way to surprise yourself, awaken yourself to your weirdness, is to randomly open a book and point to a page. What word does your finger light on? Write it down. Do this 4 more times. Now turn your 5 words into a poem about yourself. Yet another way to startle yourself. Stare at your face in the mirror for 5 minutes. 4. Turn something into something else, or feel like you are magic. Artist M.C. Escher asked, "Are you sure that a floor cannot also be a ceiling?" Marcel Duchamp, another artist, turned a urinal into a fountain. We too can liberate objects from their traditional uses and thrill to the enchantment. You can turn anything into virtually anything else. Start small. Take a paperclip. What else can you bend it into? A hook? Or perhaps a keyring? Or an unclogger of glue containers? Or the letter L or the letter O? A bracelet, or a thin metallic worm. Then there is this story. A Zen master pointed to a fan and asked 2 monks what it was. The first monk picked it up and fanned himself silently. The other monk took the fan, placed a tea cake on it, and offered it to the master. The fan was now a serving tray. This is the emptiness of the fan. So goes the story, and it means that there is no such thing as fanness, just as there is no such thing as paperclipness. These are just ghostly concepts that attempt to fix an object into one meaning. But in reality, a thing is less a noun and more a verb, not so much a solid as a likelihood. Practice, right now, turning an object into an action. Grab a book. What can you make it? Maybe a tray, a plinth, a rectangular fluttering frisbee, a weapon, a shovel that works only in the loosest of sand, something to try to spin on your index finger, a tiny platform that makes you a little taller, a plate for potato chips, a triangle or a dollhouse if you open it slightly and stand it on the longer edges of the cover, a measure of your posture or a mortarboard or an example of a rectangle. Scientists say such transmogrifying will improve your creativity. It will also soften your facts into fantasies. Who doesn't want that? 5. Embrace those parts of yourself you're afraid of, or your inner weird is your most you. Great creators have made the weird their work. The eccentric artist is a cliche, but not an inaccurate one. Truman Capote feared planes with two nuns on board and avoided rooms containing yellow roses. Monkeys, peacocks, a bear, a crane, and a crocodile were the pets of Lord Byron, who imbibed wine from skulls. Charles Dickens stuffed the paw of his dead cat Bob and affixed it to an ivory letter opener. Poet Gerard de Nerval walked a lobster on a leash. Einstein gathered cigarette butts and smoked them in his pipe. Enamored of oxidation, Dolly peed on the brass rings of fountain pens. Shirley Jackson, author of The Lottery, practiced witchcraft. To finish The Hunchback of Notre Dame on time, Victor Hugo locked himself in his room, naked. Steve Jobs ate so many carrots his skin turned orange. Buckminster Fuller, architect of the geodesic dome, wore three watches, slept only 2 hours a day, and updated his diary every 15 minutes. Maya Angelou wrote best in hotel rooms from 6:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. She required that the sheets never be cleaned and that sherry, playing cards, and a Bible always be on hand. Geniuses tend to be weird because they embrace those parts of themselves that separate them from the masses, parts unprecedented, unpredictable, unrepeatable. If you crave originality, cultivate the strange. This is not easy. Go singular and you risk being misunderstood, feared, disliked, ignored. But without this gamble, how will you discover your power? Here are some things you can do to express your inner weird. If your soul were an animal, what creature would it be? Tomorrow, on three occasions, do something you think your animal would. Another exercise. If you died tomorrow but still got to write your obituary, what would you write? Still another. Make up your own curse words. Or maybe, paint odd messages on stones and secretly place them around your city. Things like, look once, or floss the back. Such strange activities will stimulate your weirdness muscles and inspire you to embrace what is outré and perhaps delightful about you. If exercises like these, my book contains 99 of them, don't cultivate creativity, self-knowledge, and empathy, as I hope they will, at least they will distract you. And since boredom is, according to Soren Kierkegaard, the despairing refusal to be oneself, it is good to be distracted. It is better, though, to be enchanted, to divine that the days are strange, and around the corner is another wonder.
Thank you, Eric. That was Eric Wilson with 5 big ideas from How to Be Weird, an off-kilter guide to living a one-of-a-kind life. If your life is still feeling a bit ordinary, we've got you covered with our book bite for Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World by Olga Hazan. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a strange day.